My name is Jovita Das. I've been coming to this retreat for quite a while. And before I begin, I'd like to offer my respects to my Guru Dev. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyanandana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmidatam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and to all members of Sri Parampara. So, the title of this demonstration is Chanting Hare Krishna Prayerfully. And before I begin, I'd like to just call your attention to this book that I've been studying for the last few days. It's called Japa by Bhurijan Prabhu. And this is written in conjunction with the Japa retreats he's been doing for many years in Vrindavan, during the Kartik period. And there's some very wonderful realizations and instructions in here about improving our japa and chanting very attentively and getting a taste for the holy name. And I drew on some of those ideas for this presentation. So we're going to begin. I think we're going to begin.
This is your projector.
It's my projector, and I tested it out.
Technology is great, it works.
Sorry, it doesn't work. It's... All right. Strange. So, I'd like to begin by sharing with you this prayer that's located in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22.16. This comes from Lord Chaitanya's teachings to Sanatana Goswami. And this is the beginning, right near the beginning of his teaching of the process of devotional service. His teachings of Sanatana are divided into the Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. You may have heard of Sambandha as understanding the relationship between the Lord and ourselves and this material world. And then comes the process, Abhideya, chanting Hare Krishna, etc., and then the ultimate goal, Prayojana. So he's given this prayer at the beginning to kind of characterize our attitude toward entering into devotional service and chanting the holy name, which is our main bhajan. So I'd like to share this with you. I'll chant the Sanskrit slowly. It's kind of difficult, but you can try to repeat. Originally written by Madhavendra Puri, and I say prayer for destroying offenses because this is quoted in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and in Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion, he says from the Aparad Bhanjana. There's apparently, I try to find out more verses from this Aparad Bhanjana, which means destruction of offenses, a book of verses that helps to destroy offenses or to counteract offenses. So I said, this is one of the prayers for destroying offenses. Kama dinam katina katita palita dur nideshas. Try it. Tesham jata maina karuna natrapano prashantihi. Maina karuna. Utsrinjaitan hati yadupate sampratam lanha buddhis. Tvamayata kshadanam habayam mam niyung svatma dasye. Okay. Good try. Now I put this into a little poem, which I think will be a little easier to follow. In how many ways have I sought to obey the seductive demands of my wicked desires? They've shown me no mercy, yet on I've gone shamelessly trying to quench lust's unquenchable fires. But now in rejecting these hellish desires, for my higher intelligence now has awoken. O Krishna, O shelter of fearlessness, please let me serve you with faith that will never be broken. So Srila Prabhupada gives a small purport here, and you'll see why I chose it, because he talks about prayer. This verse is also quoted in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.2.25. When we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we are saying, Hare, O energy of the Lord, O my Lord Krishna. In this way, we are simply addressing the Lord and his spiritual potency, represented as Radha Krishna, Sita Ram, or Lakshmi Narayan. The devotee always prays to the Lord and his internal energy or consort so that he may engage in their transcendental loving service. When the conditioned soul attains his real spiritual energy and fully surrenders unto the Lord's lotus feet, he tries to engage in the Lord's service. This is the real constitutional position of the living entity. So, in our verse, the devotee, Madhavendra Puri, is taking the role, as they the great acharyas often do, of a conditioned soul coming to the Lord. And he's taking stock of his position. And he says, oh, for so many lifetimes I've served the demands of lust, etc., anger and greed. And even though serving them, they have not been satisfied and not given me any peace. But now, because my higher intelligence has awoken, now how does that intelligence get awoken? By contact with the transcendental knowledge coming from Krishna through the acharya, through the shastra, through pure media, like that. And so our intelligence can be awoken and we can realize all and regret all of these lifetimes of suffering and serving these bad masters. But it's not enough to realize that. We have to run to Krishna. And that's why the last verse, the last part of the verse, he says, now I'm approaching you, please engage me in your service. We can't be without service, but we have to replace the service of our senses and lust, anger, and greed, and illusion with the service to Krishna. And its significance is abhayam. In other words, this is the shelter of fearlessness. Otherwise, material life is fraught with fear in every species of life. So this is the kind of the first step in beginning to chant the holy name. And it characterizes the mood that we should chant with. Prabhupada said, he's often said, well, what does it mean? It's a call. You know, the famous record in Prabhupada's address. It's a call to the Lord and his consort to engage us in their service. This is what the meaning is. So really, that is prayer. It's not just a meditation on a sound. A bhakta is more than just meditating on the sound. It's not impersonal. We're actually calling out to the Lord. And the more that we can feel like that, that will be the essential prayerfulness of our chanting. Okay, go on. So I'd like to share with you another prayer. This is a famous verse from Queen Kunti's prayer. Srila Prabhupada loved those prayers. He often quoted them, and he made a book out of his lectures called the Teachings of Queen Kunti. So this is one of her prayers that deals with the chanting of the holy name. This is what this is about. And I have to tell you that, you know, my service is as an editor. And now I've been going through the Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm in the middle of the third canto now, so I went through the first canto, second canto. And with the first canto, we have the original books that Prabhupada brought with him. So that's the perfect manuscript, as it were. And this translation needed some adjustment to bring out the actual meaning that Prabhupada intended for, which has wholly and solely to do with the quality of chanting the holy name. So join me, I'll say you say. Janmaishraya Shruta Shribhi Edamana Madakpuman Naivarhatya Bidhatum Vai Tvamakinchana Gocharam. My lord, your lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted, because one who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot address you with sincere feeling. From Prabhupada's purport, a helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. And the whole purport is about the quality of the chanting, quality of our chanting the holy name. Because really, when we learn about devotional service from Srila Prabhupada's books, seriously, we realize that all of our lifetimes in this world, first thing we understand is that this is not our only life. We've had many, many lifetimes before. And that in each one, we've been under gross illusion, trying to, first of all, misidentifying ourselves with the body and trying to survive in this world, lower species, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And even in the human form, we have no idea what the real purpose of life is. That the purpose of life is to get out of this covered world of matter and this misidentification with material energy and suffering, birth, old age, and disease. And to, as Prabhupada's famous phrase, go back home, back to Godhead. So awakening to that, then we need to follow the path that's been eked out or has been shown by previous acharyas, and that is so nicely described in the books of Srila Prabhupada based on the acharyas and Srimad Bhagavatam, etc. So what is it that stands in our way of when we chant Hare Krishna? What is it that stands in a way of chanting with deep devotion and getting a taste for the holy name and experiencing all the things that we read about in the books? It's our material attachments. It's our misidentification and attachments. And she lists the basic four opulences that bewilder people. If one is, now this Edamana Madak is a key phrase here, means increasing pride. Madhaya means pride and intoxication, pride, with these four things. Good birth, wealth, education, material education, and physical beauty. You can see how these things are so much coveted in this world. If one has a lot of money, and he comes from a good family, and is very beautiful, then you feel like, well, I got it made. I got it made in this world pretty well, you know. I mean, I like to go to the Hare Krishna temple, but I'll never become one of them, you know, because I got so many other things I'm invested in. But those are what Prabhupada calls fallible soldiers. These will not help us. This actually a disqualification. Certainly, now this word, akinchana gocharam, is very important. It means that you are approachable by those who don't identify and don't feel that these opulences are really theirs, but rather they use them when appropriate for serving Krishna. Then they're not damaging. They become aids. Just like many of Lord Chaitanya's devotees, most famously Pundarik Vidyanidhi, very wealthy, very wealthy. Gadadhar Pandit couldn't understand, how is he a great devotee? He's sitting on a high chair, he's getting fanned by the peacock plume, he's got all of these scents. And then who is it who chanted a verse? Mukunda. And he chanted a beautiful verse, maybe Barhat Bidam, Natavadavapu, describing Krishna. And he just went into total ecstasy, fell off his chair, and for hours he was in ecstatic, showing ecstatic symptoms. In other words, he had the wealth, but he wasn't identifying with it. And Ramananda Roy also was a householder. He had a lot of wealth. but completely akinchana. So it's not a question of what you have, it's how it affects you. If you are identifying with it, boga aishwarya prasaktanam. If you're bewildered by the boga, the aishwarya, and you want to use it for sense gratification, then you may chant, but you can't chant deeply from the heart. This is the point of this whole verse and purport. And so, in Krishna consciousness, we know part of the sadhana, part of the discipline, is living as simply as possible, and not exaggerating material means, and trying to use our opulence, whatever it may be, in the service of the Lord. And this way it transcendentalizes it. And then we don't become edamanavadak. So this mood of akinchana is important for the prayerfulness. The whole idea of how to chant Hare Krishna in this prayerful mood is to feel oneself completely dependent on Krishna and helpless without his mercy. If we're taking shelter of material things, wealth, etc., then how can we feel helpless? We have some other so-called shelter. It's a false shelter, but that affects our mood of chanting. And so chanting prayerfully, this is another key verse. It's the same mood as the other one. The other devotee, Madhavendra Puri, is explaining or expressing how he's had so many other shelters, so many other, services, but he's rejecting them because of his intelligence has been awoken. And in that mood of rejection, he's now approaching the Lord, please engage me in your service, the service of fearlessness. So this is also an important foundational verse to really understand the mood of how we can chant with real prayerfulness and desperation for the Lord. Okay, go on. Okay, so now I'd like to turn to the Shikshastika. Shikshastika is the root of practically, the whole philosophy. And this is expressed nicely in this book. I highly recommend it. How the Shikshastika gives us instructions about the mentality we should have for successfully chanting the holy name. Now, the first verse, I'm hoping all of you, almost all of you, are familiar with the first verse, describes the glories of the holy name, the benefits, and seven metaphors. Cheto dharpa namarjanam bhava mahadavakni nirvapanam. It cleanses the mirror of the mind, this chanting of the holy name. Now, what does that mean? It means that we have no idea, due to all of our lives lived in this material world, our consciousness, our heart, our mind, is covered by the dust of so many material desires and sinful reactions. We have no idea who we are. If you look into Burujan says, you look into a mirror that has miles of dust on it. You know, there's like a dusty, you remember reading that? What are you going to see? Just the dust, right? So we're completely in illusion about who we really are, even in the human form, what to speak of lower forms. So, but the chanting of the holy name, if we can get enough faith by association and by hearing to begin the chanting, the cleansing process becomes very powerful. And the more we chant and the more we chant in association of devotees, that cleansing of the mirror of the mind, so we can actually see who we are and understand. And with that cleansing and that understanding, the blazing fire of material life is extinguished. Means that we're on our way, well on our way toward liberation, which is a blazing fire of birth, death, old age, and disease. Bhava maha davagni nirvapanam is extinguished. And then he describes how it brings all auspiciousness. It's just like this soothing moonshine. You know, the famous benediction moon is shining, and this white lotus of good fortune that we are able to get the benefit of. And also by chanting or sharing the holy name and inspiring others, Hari Nam, then we spread that white lotus, that good fortune lotus everywhere. So this is really the best thing for ourselves and the world at large. That's the, and then the life of the wife of knowledge. Now, one thing to understand very clearly is that we are originally Krishna conscious living beings. We are in the spiritual world. We know the philosophy, whatever. In other words, we're enlightened. But we've lost that since time immemorial. So, but that knowledge is still there, and it can be uncovered. Now, the super soul is in there, giving us good instruction all the time. And he comes externally as a spiritual master and appears as the Shastra. Krishna is speaking to us through the Bhagavad Gita, and Bhagavatam, he also speaks through Vyas and directly. So we have all of this advantage or chance to be enlightened if we simply become receptive to the message. So the chanting makes us receptive. The chanting of the holy name, Krishna's cleansing from within the heart, and inspiring us to hear receptively. And so, and that's in two senses. One is we get knowledge from within, but more importantly, we become very receptive to the what Srila Prabhupada has given us, so much knowledge from his books and his lectures and so forth. So therefore the knowledge comes, and that knowledge should take us to the ultimate goal. And when the purification takes place, more and more we realize our actual nature, which is Anandamaya Vyasat. Just as Krishna is Anandamaya Vyasat, described in the Vedanta Sutra, by nature full of bliss, by nature full of bliss, we are also, being part and parcel of Krishna, full of bliss. So that Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, that ocean expands unlimitedly. And at every step we can taste the nectar for which we're always anxious. And so he says, Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtan, Sankirtanam. Therefore, the holy name will be all victorious. So what this verse should do, if we hear it properly, we understand and we have faith, is that it will nourish our faith so that we'll also want to chant and achieve this goal. So that's, but what happens is, in the second verse, he says, Lord Chaitanya, taking the role of a conditioned soul, if you will, he says, you have so many names, Krishna, Govinda, Keshava. You've invested your names, your potencies in them. And there's no restriction for chanting at any time. But if you want to chant some Vedic mantra to get good fortune or go to heaven, so many restrictions. You mispronounce one word, you may get just the opposite of what you wanted. You know? The famous example with Vritrasura, how Trashta. Trashta, anyway, it's a long story, but he was the father of Vishwaroop, who he said, okay, Indra had offended Brahaspati, lost his guru, they were becoming weak, they needed another guru, so Vishwaroop was given, okay, he'll be your guru. But Indra, he has a tendency to fly off the handle, you know, lose control, right? So he saw Vishwaroop offering some oblations to some demon side, because he had that, it was a combination of his heritage. And he couldn't stand it. He cut off his heads. He had three heads. And I was like, Trashta was infuriated. His son was now, you know, he arranged a sacrifice to invoke a demon who would kill Indra. But what happened? He got a devotee dressed as a demon, Vritrasura, whom Indra would kill and send back to Godhead. Because he mispronounced one word. Is it? But when it comes to Hare Krishna, if we had to pronounce exactly, we'd all be in trouble. There's a nice story of, in China, when, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was preaching in China. You know, the Chinese have a little trouble with the R's, you know? So one devotee who was sincere came to Maharaj and said, you know, like, it's hard for me to chant, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. What should I do, Maharaj? He said, just keep chanting. Krishna sees, you know, Bhava Grahi Janardana, Janardana Krishna, he understands your mood, he'll accept, you know. And after some time he was able to pronounce, he became a great chant, he was chanting 64 rounds at one point. But the point is that, that's not what counts. There's no hard and fast rules, anyone can chant at any time. And a benefit. And yet, Lord Chaitanya says, in spite of all this, you've invested all your potencies, as anyone can chant at any time. I have no taste for the chanting because I commit too many offenses. So, this verse is the next verse. This is the mood we need to adopt in order to chant successfully, to enter into the mood of abject supplication, feeling dependent on the Lord, and chant purely so that we can actually chant at all times. So let's chant this one. I'll chant, you chant. Trinad api suni chena. Tador api sahishnuna. Amanina manadena. kirtaniyak sadaharihi. More humble than the blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, to think all praise belongs to others, none belongs to me. These qualities attract the Lord to bless one with the power to chant his name incessantly until the final hour. So this, when you analyze it, this is a super verse. This is like the most important verse. Lord Chaitanya and others say, hang it around your neck. You know, it means you should always remember it. So the first thing is Trinada Bisuni Chena. This is like more humble than a blade of grass. The grass is stepped on, you know, and the grass, it said that the grass, when you step on it, comes back up. But devotees don't. Therefore, you're more humble than a blade of grass. In other words, the grass is just, you're just a blade of grass lying in the street. Where is the possibility for false pride in that? You see that? It's just opposite. The Edamana Madakpama, feeling very humble and desperate. Tadorabhi Sahishnuna. Now, the tree is the emblem of tolerance. Lord Krishna, in the forest, he's praising the trees with his friends, famously. The trees, they stand there, they undergo the heat, they undergo the freezing cold, without complaining. They give the fruits and flowers, they give their wood, they even give their body, they never make a noise, right? They never say. So they're super tolerant. So the idea is that in Lord Chaitanya's movement, we serve the holy name by chanting and hearing and also giving. And in preaching the holy name, inevitably there are difficulties. There are often sometimes great difficulties. The Haridas Thakur went through some difficulties, Prahlad Maharaj went through some difficulties, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. If you're going to preach, you're going to meet a lot of difficulties. So you have to remain tolerant and humble and continue to preach. So this is a sign of real dependence on the Lord and feeling desperate for his protection. That's what this attitude is. And then, amanina manadena. In other words, no sense, I'm not trying to become a great devotee. This is a big pitfall. Is that devotees, they come, they chant a little bit, and they say, well, I'm a devotee. Not bad. You know? Or 10, 20 years, you think, well, I should be offered some obeisances. Why should he be, you know, like, in other words, the false pride comes in. Amanina. No. None of it. Rather give praise to others. You see? So that cuts off this false pride, which will definitely hinder your chanting probably. Then you can always chant. Because you always feel the need to chant. You feel, you don't want to let Krishna out of your mind even for a second. You feel dependent. Plus, the taste is growing. The taste is there so that it's just pure nectar. Tunde tanda bani da ting batandode dundabali labdiye. This is a verse by Rupa Goswami. How much nectar? I don't know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. When I chant them, I want to have thousands of mouths. They dance in my mouth. I want just one mouth. I enter the ears. I want to have thousands of ears. And when they enter the courtyard of the heart, all the senses become inert and the mind becomes fixed on Krishna. So it's important to read and hear the descriptions of how the great acharyas are experiencing the holy name, so we can become inspired. Okay, let's go on. So, then with that mood, what should we pray for? Generally, we pray for something material. People are praying all the time. They go to church. But we are enjoined never to pray for anything material. This whole movement is based on the verse in the beginning of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Anyabhilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karma Janavratam, Anukulena Krishna Nushidanam Bhakti Uttama. This movement is meant for nothing but to go and to progress toward pure devotional service. That's the foundation of this movement. It's set by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers. So this verse from Rupa Goswami says, here is pure devotion. And the whole nectar devotion is based on it. And this movement is based on nectar devotion. The bhakti, pure bhakti, is not covered in the slightest by other desires. Anya abhilashita. Abhilashita is even more than just a desire. It's a longing. It's a great aspiration. No aspiration for what? Jnana karma janavatam. Avata means covered or obscured. Jnana means desire for liberation. Karma is ordinary material desire. And then anything else you may come up with. Adi. Is it? Okay, that's one it isn't. What is it? Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktirutama. The constant favorable service with the intention of pleasing Krishna. In other words, our whole motivation, we say ahoitiki, but you can't have completely ahoitiki. There's a motivation, but not a material motivation. The motivation is simply to please Krishna and his devotees and like that. And then you find yourself in the highest bliss. When you start worrying, am I in bliss now or not? Ooh, I felt a little fill up of bliss there. Maybe I can expand it. No, it doesn't work that way. Actually, when you forget about your own bliss and you simply try to give pleasure to Krishna and glorify Krishna and give pleasure to his devotees, then you find yourself in the highest bliss. So here he's saying what we shouldn't pray for and what we should pray for. Famous verse. Nadanang nadanang nasundarim kavitang va jagadish kamahi mama janmani janmanishware bhavata bhakta dahaituki twahi. Wealth and women, followers, the fruits of mundane piety. Liberation from this world of limitless anxiety. For me, O Lord, these common goals have not the slightest worth. Let me serve you purely now and in each future birth. So these verses should really inform our chanting. When we chant Hare Krishna, it's not that we're going to be thinking nada-nanda-nama as we chant, but there's a certain mood that you can have. And that mood is that there's nothing, no material reason I'm chanting. I simply want to achieve that level of unmotivated, no material motivation, devotional service. We should feel like that. Okay, next. Now, the next verse also is a prayer. Prayer for shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. Notice that the previous verse didn't mention Krishna. Jagadisha. He's Jagadisha. Jagadisha is kind of a generic name for God. Everybody thinks that, the Lord of the universe. But now, it's Krishna in Vrindavan. You know, now he's, this is the Lord we want to pray to. And so, and it's in the mood, which I'm going to deal with in another presentation, of Dainya. This sense of Dainya. Dainya means, you know, the name for Krishna, Dinabandhu. It's a famous name, Dinabandhu. So Dina is a person who has Dainya with the quality, which is that very wretched and neglected and hopeless and kind of desperate, you know? And Srimati Radharani is in that mood when she's in Mathura, she's in Vrindavan and Krishna's in Mathura. I dina dayardanata hei. And we'll deal with this verse another time. But this is another verse by Madhavendrapuri, very famous verse. And this mood is characterized by all our acharyas. You know that prayer, many have heard this song, Hari Hari Vipale, Vipale? It said that Prabhupada said it's one of his favorite song. It's all Dainya. It's by Narottam Das. I've wasted my whole life. You know, I didn't serve you and this. And finally at the end, please don't kick me away. You know, it's not just down on yourself. It's not a question of just being depressed and being out of it. You're calling out to Krishna and revealing your heart, how you really feel about yourself, that I have no shelter but you. So this idea that I'm kinkanam and that I've fallen, patitam mam, you see? I lost my true identity, fell into this horrid sea, and for lifetimes after lifetimes I had no idea who I was, you see? So that feeling of being absolutely dependent on Krishna and calling for him to please take me back and put me as an atom at your lotus feet. I don't want any exalted position, just let me stay at your lotus feet. That's the real mood. This is by Lord Chaitanya. This is Krishna himself in the mood of showing us how to be a devotee of Krishna. So this is very illustrative also of the mood that we should have. See, it's like Kali Yuga is known to be an ocean of faults, right? And in the 12th canto, they're really enumerated. Prabhupada was amazed. You know the story. He's familiar with the 12th canto. And, you know, truthfulness will be destroyed. You can't get justice. You have to pay off the judges. And, you know, there's no real marriage. It's just the physical attraction. As soon as that's gone, you know, so one after another describing what we experience every day, right? So then at the end there, you know, after a long litany of disqualifications of this age, it says, but there's one very special quality. Kala doshana de rajam asti eko mahadguna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha param vrajet. Is that, my dear Purukit, this Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. Doshana de, O king. But there's one very special quality. And that is just by kirtanadeva krishnasya, by chanting Krishna's holy names, one can break all of one's association and attachment in this world and go back to Godhead. Now, think about why that is, one of the reasons that is. And there's another verse I'd like to share with you. This Kali Yuga is glorified. This Kali Yuga, because Lord Chaitanya appeared. Kaling Sabad, this is in the 11th canto, right? A couple of verses after the verse describing how Lord Chaitanya has come. Krishna has come as Lord Chaitanya. And one should worship him, the intelligent worship him by Sankirtan. So this says, Kaling Sabajayam Gyaya Guna Gyasara Bhaginaha Yatya Sangitane Naiva Sarvasvarta Vilabhyate. That those who are really Aryans and who understand the quality of things, they worship this Kali Yuga. Because in this Kali Yuga, just by Sankirtan, you can achieve all your goals in life. Now why is that? Well, one of the reasons is that it says in the Bible, the last shall be first and the first shall be last, right? So it's kind of like that. We're so disqualified, the age is so, disqualified, difficult, from the beginning, live very long, you're misguided, always disturbed, that if you just take up the chanting, Krishna is so kind that he endows that name with all of his potencies, and you can really feel yourself to be totally desperate. And call out with absolute, helplessness, which is the mood that Lord Chaitanya is giving us here. The point is that because it's so difficult in this age, if we take up the chanting in the right mood and with the understanding, then we can quickly advance because we'll realize we have no other shelter. In other ages, even Satya Yuga, I'm living for 100,000 years. I'm pretty good. I'll try some meditation for 25,000 years, like that. Right? You don't feel as desperate. So, in a sense, this, not being, and right? Janmashraya Shuta Shibir? Being poor or having the difficulty, if it leads you to take shelter of Krishna, is an advantage. The Avanti Brahman, right? Everything was taken away. Krishna says, Yasya Hamana Gunnami. That to those I show my real mercy, I take everything away. And then their wife and kids don't like them anymore, kick them out of the house. And then, they have no shelter but me. So we should take advantage of the blessings of Kali Yuga and take full shelter of the holy name as our only business. And that's what this is all about. Please think of me as a dust, just keep me at your lotus feet. Because I have no other shelter. That's the prayer we should feel. We should chant Hare Krishna in that mood. That's what I'm getting at. Okay, next. Okay, now I'm going to, hopefully I don't overlap what you're going to do with the Namashtika. But I wanted to share some of these verses in the Namashtika where you're praying to the holy name. Praying to the holy name. For more ruchi, for more attraction. That's perfectly fine. In fact, it's recommended. This is by Rupa Goswami. So, I'm a little hesitant to do the Sanskrit, but let's give it a shot. This one's a little easier than the other one. Agadamana Yashoda Nandana Nandasunu. And Kamala Nayana Gopi Chandra Vrindavan Indra. And Pranada Karuna Krishna Vityaneka Swarupe. Tvai Mamanatut Uchaya Vardatam Namadheya. O holy name. You have many forms, such as Agadamana, the crusher of Agasura, Yashoda Nandana, beloved son of Yashoda, Nandasunu, beloved son of Nanda, Kamala Nayana, lotus-eyed lord, Gopi Chandra, the moon of the gopis, Vrindavan Indra, the king of Vrindavan, Pranata Karunai, you who are most merciful to the surrendered souls, and Krishna. I pray to you that my love for you in these and your many other forms may greatly increase. So, this is, if we want something, you know, especially if we want something in our, for our devotional service, we should pray to Krishna for it. And Krishna and his holy name are none different. Abhinat Banama Namino. This is in the verse, and Prabhupada told us that from the beginning. Krishna is none different from his holy name. So you can pray to the holy name, and you can chant the holy name with this mentality. Please give me more and more taste. That's what the last line says. Trayi mama natura chai vadatam. Please increase my attraction for you more and more. Now, on our side, you know, one of the ways that Krishna is going to help us become attracted is by giving us instruction and giving us lessons about how we can purify our consciousness so that we can naturally have more attraction. But that's part of what his mercy is that he's made the arrangements so that we have all the opportunity. And it's up to us to take advantage of all of the facilities that have been given to us. But this is a wonderful prayer, and there's another one at the end, so go for the same, he's also praying. Okay, this is praying to the holy name for attraction, the holy name. Now, this kind of verse, maybe if I have, I think there's a little side sessions that we can have. If I have a chance, I'll show those who are interested in some of this chanting technique. This is a seminar I've given many times of the art of chanting, the meter, and memorization. Because there's a whole lot of nectar in these verses that you can relish. And they help to fix the mind on Krishna and fill it with Krishna's thoughts so that when you chant, your mind isn't full of all kinds of material thoughts, you know. It's full of Krishna thought. So this kind of verse, it's a little different. You'll see as we chant it, it's not the regular four-line verse, it's two lines, but it's real sweet. Last verse of the Namashtika. Narada vino jivana sadome niryasa maduri pura. Vino jivana. Tvam Krishna nama kamam spudame vasane vasena sada. O life of Narada's Veena, O flood of the waves of sweet nectar, O holy name of Lord Krishna, please always manifest on my tongue with great nectarian sweetness. Now this verse is what inspired that song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which you may have heard. Narada Muni Bhajana Veena. You ever heard of that? He's Narada Muni's chanting Hare Krishna, playing his Veena, and Shiva starts dancing as a whole extent. We learned that. That was an early sermon Prabhupada gave us. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote a song about each one of these verses, expanding on it in his Gitavali. It's wonderful. All this is available. I'll make all these available to you also if you want, anyone who is interested. So this is just a couple of the verses, that where you pray to the holy name. Now when you chant Hare Krishna, we chant our rounds, we can be, asking, we can, you know, how do I put it? You want to hear every syllable. That's the first thing. So your mind is moving here and there. We all experience this. How do we concentrate? How do we really fix the mind on holy? So we can pray to the holy name. Please let me hear every syllable. Please give me the inspiration. Give me what's necessary like that. Let me have more taste for you. You see? In other words, this is part of what it means to chant prayerfully. We're calling out to a person. It's not just a question of mechanical, you know, hearing a sound. We're calling out to a person. And that person is our dearmost Lord. He's closer to us than our life. We understand that, theoretically at least. So, plus, he can give us anything we want, especially for his service. So if you chant these verses, you know the mood, you know, you can chant for more taste. Please let me hear you every syllable and let me relish the taste even a little bit like Rupa Goswami, like that. So this is part of what it means to chant prayerfully. Please, Krishna, let me get rid of this anarta that is bothering me and taking me away from you. Please give me the inspiration. Hare Krishna. All right, let's go on. So now I'd like to share a poem with you, and this was going to be a little bit of a sing-along. This is a Kevalashtika. 8 verses glorifying the holy name is all that be. Now, I remember reading the biography of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, wonderful, extensive biography about Bhakti Vikas Swami. And I saw that one of the chapters in there was about glorifying the holy name, that Naam Mahima. It's important to do that. Why is that? Well, think of it personally, that we're chanting the holy name. We know it's non-different from Krishna. We're feeling the benefits, right? We know that there's more, but we want to progress to the chanting. So, by glorification of Krishna in the form of his holy name, then that will also affect our consciousness as we chant our rounds. In other words, Krishna is a person. The holy name is a person. So when we glorify the holy name, then that's also part of the substrate of our consciousness as we chant. And it will help us to concentrate more and get more of the benefit. It's just part of what happens. So this is a little musical thing. Can we get a little drum? Drummer? Is there anyone who plays a drum? Where's Subal? Not here. So many drummers. And we'll do the simple verses, and I put it into a little poem. And for a long time, I don't know if you know this, Maharaj, they actually found out who wrote this. I didn't find out, but a devotee did, who went to India, they found out that this is 8 verses of 100 verses. These are 8 pulled out of those 100. And it was written, I forget his name, I'll find it for you. But he was a close associate or a disciple of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And these are like somebody's favorite 8, you know. So, we always thought it was anonymous, so the last verse, it doesn't mention the name. Okay, so, do we have a card to play or two? You're there. All right.
I was going to read my do it. So give me 1 second.
Madaram. So here's what I'll do. I'll just chant the verses, then we'll go into the song, you know. Madaram madarebyopi. Mangalebyopi mangalam. Bhavanam bhavanebyopi. Hare nama eva kevalam. Of sweet things, it's the sweetest you will taste at any time. Thing. All right. Bon, bon, chitum, chitum. Let's play a regular beat. Of sweet things, it's the sweetest you will taste at any time. Of sweet things, it's the sweetest you... Of things that bring good fortune, it's the perfect paradigm. Of things that purify, it purifies most powerfully. A holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Abrahmastambhapayantam sarvam mayamayam jagat satyam satyam punak satyam hare namaiva kevalam. from Brahma's realm atop the sky down to the lowly grass. Illusion reigns in Mahadevi's treacherous morass. The truth, the only truth, the name of Sri Hari. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Keep going. He's the Guru, He's the Father, He's the friend most true, and she's the real mother who most kindly teaches you. To always chant and hear the holy name of Sri Hari. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Now, the holy name of Sri Hari, surely all that be. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram. Remember that our final breath may come at any time, no matter if we're old and sick or in our youthful prime. So young and old alike should chant the name incessantly. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Lord Sri Hari forever dwells wherever devotees whose hearts are fixed on Him and free of all impurities uplift their voices high and sing His name in ecstasy. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Alas, what sorrow, what great pain, the worst calamity. For people to forget the holy name of Sri Hari. Although the name's a priceless gem, mere broken glass they see. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Just fill your ears, just fill them with the name of Sri Hari. Just chant the name, just chant the name with all sincerity. Just sing the name, just sing the holy name eternally. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It makes this world appear like bits of straw upon the ground. Resplendently it reigns supreme, divinity in sound. is filled with transcendental bliss and peerless purity. The holy name of Shihad is surely all that be. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Inspired to glorify the holy name of Sri Hari, an unknown sage composed this hymn in Sanskrit poetry. I pray that those who read this lowly version made by me will chant the holy name of Sri Hari in ecstasy. Will chant the holy name of Sri Hari in ecstasy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Go Premanande, Hare Hare Go. Uh-oh. Sorry. Well, there you have it. So, I think this may be the last one I have. I'm kind of a little short. I hope I'm not going to get fired. But, this last verse, this is a very beautiful verse about, the holy name as realized by Raghunath Das Goswami in his Stabavali. And he compares the name to, drinking, rasa. And you see, so let's try this one. This is another, you know, of course this is very rarefied. I mean, this is very advanced understanding. But it's important to be exposed to that. Just like Srila Prabhupada gave us the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Nectar Devotion, parts of it. Very advanced. But he didn't just, want us to wait in order to read it. But he wanted us to read it. In fact, amazingly, he wanted us to distribute it in the airport. Anjalila. So, and the Nectar of Instruction. I mean, the Nectar of Instruction, if there's one book that's for the devotees only, it's the Nectar of Instruction, right? I said, no, print, 100,000 of them and distribute them widely. Which we did. So these wonderful expressions are there in the writings of the Acharyas. And my old friend Kushakrata Prabhu, I don't know if you've heard of him, but he was a very brilliant scholar, but was also kind of eccentric, a little bit avadutish, we call it. And he spent 20 years sitting in LA and translating. I mean, he didn't do anything else, basically. He ate and slept and went to the Mangalarti, chanted his rounds. But, he completed like hundreds of books. He actually translated the whole Stavamala, the whole Stavavali, the Padyavali, many other works. So this is how I learned this verse, and it's just the sweetest verse. So, I'd like to share it with you. It's not a difficult meter. This is the same meter as Chintamani prayers. Govindamadi Purusham. So let's try it. Radhe ti nama navasunda dasidhu mugdham. All right. I think this is still going. Radhe ti nama navasunda dasidhu mugdham. Krishneti nama madodaputa gara dugdham. Savakshanam sodaviraga himena ramyam. Kritvata daiva pibame vasane chudarte. An excellent fresh nectar drink with endless subtle tastes. Such is the name of Radha, by whom all three worlds are graced. Condensed milk that is wonderfully delicious, thick and sweet. Such is the name of Krishna, in whom all attractions meet. Now mix these drinks, O thirsty tongue, and add the cooling spice of love, a prize the wise will try to buy at any price. And then at every moment, drink this beverage most fine, and make my heart supremely blissful, peaceful, and divine. What do you think? I think that's the end. See what we got. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So is there any questions? I can try to help with this. We can have a discussion about this. Chanting prayerfully. This is something that's central to our practice, is to be able to chant from the heart. It's not easy. In this book, which I wasn't able to really present much from, Burijan Prabhu analyzes really wonderfully what prevents us from getting a taste for the holy name, which is, after all, everything. If we can't get a taste for the holy name, we can't really practice Krishna consciousness very well. We all have some taste, and hopefully we're within a discipline where even if we don't have a taste, we're still going to chant because we've made a vow, or we know it's our duty. We've promised ourselves we'll chant 4 rounds, 8 rounds, 16 rounds. You know, whatever it is, our commitment. So that has to be there, that foundation. But we should want to progress to the stage where we can really begin to experience some of the things we read about all the time. Where you want to chant so much, you don't want to stop. I remember one time, has anyone ever gone on these japa retreats? Has anyone been on a japa retreat? Yeah. They used to be much more common in America. Before the crash in 2008, then it became more difficult. Devotees couldn't afford to go. But they still held, especially in Vrindavan. I got a chance to go on 4 or 5 of those. And I remember one experience I had. There was a day, there's always a day, a 64-round day, right? So that's like, whoa, you know, that's going to be quite a jugger, right? But the thing about it is, is that these japa retreats are so great because from morning to night, you know, you're not thinking about anything else but the holy name. And it just, it means that even if you just sit there and don't do anything but just hear, you're going to get more attracted to the holy name. So anyway, it was a 64-round day, and I was, you know, I was one of the presenters and everything. And so I sat down to chant. And after, you know, there's nothing else to do. It's just, that's it. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And you're chanting, you know, 1 hour, 2 hours, a couple. And I started to, the mind started to finally calm down. You know what I mean? And it started to actually hear the name, and all kinds of thoughts came up about my years ago in Brooklyn, you know, when I first joined, and I was living and seeing that. And for the first time, honestly, you know, tears were coming. I was really feeling, whoa. You know, this is like, I missed out. You know, this is something, it's an experience I don't want to ever forget and try to recapture it. But in a regular routine, and even being a regular devotee, it's often hard to get to that spot where the mind kind of gives up and it's just transparent and allowing the holy name really to enter in and affect you. So the point I'm making is that even a fool like me, you know, can experience some of these things, and that helps you say, well, maybe I can get back to that. In other words, you know, you can. So we try to, let's see if you can pick this book up. I highly recommend it, and in my other seminars, I'll maybe refer to some of these things, because he really analyzes, and it's a lot of it has to do with, you know, the whole thing has to do with the mind, how it's the mind that is keeping us going from body to body. Right? It's that contaminated mind. And it's the mind that's hanging on to our false conceptions and falling into maybe aparad, even unintentionally, and finding we're losing taste and, you know, things like that. So he deals with all the questions, and he bases it on the Shikshastika, the first 4 verses of Shikshastika, which I dealt with partially here. So maybe I'll refer to some of these things later, and you know, really, I don't usually, you know, there's so many books in ISKCON. I've had this one for quite a while. It's from 2006. But because I was giving this seminar, I really got into this, and it's a treasure. Believe me, it's invaluable. If you're really interested in improving your chanting, which we should be, you know, you can't go wrong with following some of the things here. So, if there's no more discussion, yes, Subal G. Can we turn the lights up a little bit? Because I think now that this is over, we'll just leave that on the screen, but so I can see you better.
Thank you so much, Ravita Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
When I was hearing the presentation, beautiful presentation, one thing that came to my mind was this say that fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I find myself that defines more my years of chanting. The idea of, obviously, to get to the point, what I get to from your presentation, and you can correct me, or you add this mood of prayer to actually help get Krishna's mercy, to help you get to the point that we actually able to develop that taste. And you express, you know, that moment of, you know, tasting that beautiful, you know, moment. And in different levels, we experience, many of us experience that, those small moments. Consistently, that's the point. When, how to get into a consistent state is very difficult. Obviously, we have to get to so much purification as, you know, you presented. But even to get to that point of praying consistently is also pretty elevated, because I can find myself praying at certain times, but also not very consistently going through. And at the time, sometimes I'm thinking, well, Krishna may think, oh, here it goes again, you know, fake it. So I remember hearing this from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or reading Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying, if you have no taste, chant. If you have this, if you don't have this and you don't have that, keep chanting. Chant. If you commit offenses, keep chanting. And like that. So, my question goes into, to come to that mood of prayerful, to pray. That's a step under tasting, obviously. But even to get to that point, to consistently do it in my chanting, and to be able to respond to that prayer, to mean it, you know, to actually mean it, and not today, but, you know, to keep going, you know, like that.
That's the, I don't want to say $64 question, that's kind of old hat, but that's the key question. Because each of us, you know, to take up Krishna consciousness seriously means that at a certain point, you really felt inspired. You know, by something you experienced at the temple, or something you read, some person you met, to impart that faith and that determination in you to actually take up the bhajan. You know, Rupa Goswami's famous ladder from faith to love, shraddha to prema. This is something we should all know, because it really, everyone's on that ladder somehow. Someone who's just beginning chanting or just visiting the temple one time. So, the first key is faith, and this is something that Burjan mentions here, and that I never thought of it this way, that the first verse of Shikshastika is meant to impart faith in us, some enthusiasm. It's full of all these incredible descriptions, and it's, after all, it's a verse by God, you know, he should know. And so if you believe it a little bit, and you're interested, and the wonderful thing is if you just take part in a kirtan a little bit, you'll feel some of that energy. So it's not just blowing smoke. In other words, there's something there. And so you come into association, right? Adha Shraddha. Now that Shraddha at the beginning, this is not mature Shraddha. Prabhupada says it's interest, respect. It's some interest to at least come into the association of the devotees. That's why the second part is Sadhu Sangha. You see? And in the Sadhu Sangha, everything is, you know, defined by there. Because the quality of the Sadhu Sangha, which Prabhupada worked so hard to refine with his setting up the institution, establishing the temples, setting the rules and regulations, the mourning program. This didn't all come at once, obviously. In order to give those who are coming a chance to associate with those who are serious in Krishna consciousness, or at least seriouser. So by that association, and that faith brings you into association, then you just say, well, why not do what they're doing? You know? I see how these people are happier, they're living an excited life, they're adventure, you know, interesting, the philosophy is interesting, let me chant also. And as soon as you start chanting, both in kirtan and in japa, the purification takes off. Krishna really sees this is comparatively, all the billions of people, a very rare soul. And so he gives so much inspiration. And you know how it is. I remember when I joined, I was a musician my whole life, you know. And I was into demonstrating against the war in Vietnam. I remember, which I realized later, I was in the middle, you know, I lived on the Lower East Side, two blocks from Tompkins Square Park, I swear, you know, back in 1968. And it was the height of the anti-war movement. And we had all these demonstrations going, right? So I remember I'm in Washington Square Park, which is also famous, is that right? And we were having a demonstration at the university, you know. And so I'm in the front, and I've got this little drum, and I'm beating the drum. I don't know what I was chanting. Hey, hey, LBJ, how many kids did you kill today? Or something like that. This is one of the mantras we chant. And so I'm going around, you know, like that. Then, you know, 3 years later, I'm in the movement, and I'm saying, my God, I was, you know, this is the drum, and I'm chanting again. That was a pale, you know, it was a perverted reflection, you know what I'm saying? So the point I'm making is that you got swept up into the movement, and I was into the chanting from day one. The Harinam was my life and soul. I was in, you know, already into demonstrating. I wasn't embarrassed at all to go out there. So, and that, you know, just brought so much relief and happiness and bliss, you know, and I felt strengthened from that, from the chanting. So how did I get to that point? Well, association. You know, I met some nice devotees in the Brooklyn Temple, and, you know, Jadarani was there, and this was like the high point. And I got inspired to start the chanting and eventually join. So that freshness, that interest, that excitement has to be maintained. That's why, you know, I wasn't going to mention this, but that's why these shlokas are so important. Because they fix the mind. The Hare Krishna mantra is beyond the intelligence. Right? You hear the address in the record. It's beyond the senses, mind, and intelligence. But the verses are pure expression of intelligence. They engage the intelligence. I'll give you some samples. And the artistry is so exquisite. Like the Krishna Karanamrita. All of this is available now. There's some quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This one verse. Madodam, madodam, vapadasya vibho. Madodam, madodam, vadanam, madodam. Madodam, nimadusmita metaraho. Madodam, 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 madodam. So obviously it's a sweet verse, right? Madodam means sweet. So, sweet, sweet is my dear Lord's form. Sweet is still his face, so fair. But his honey-scented gentle smile is sweet beyond compare. Now this is not a verse that, I can't touch that verse, it's too advanced. No! It's quoted twice in the CC, Prabhupada gave it to us, you know? And that verse engages the mind. If you actually, you know, spend 5 minutes memorizing it, and offer it to beautiful Kishore, and look at his gorgeous form, his face, and especially that smile, there's a meditation there. It's open to us. And what I'm saying to you is that absorption in, you know, hearing and chanting, and that comes out when you chant Hare Krishna. That will help us to stay alive and to stay, you know, maintain the taste. Now, it all ultimately boils down to our own will and our own desire and how much we're willing to kick out an artist that we've been nourishing for years on end. You know, there's no way around that. But there's one good thing that happens as you get older, you know, you become less able to enjoy, you know, and there's more and more reminders that, hey, the end is coming, better get serious, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So this is one of the blessings of getting old. Most of the materialists say, oh no, I'm old, I can't do this anymore, let me get a face job, you know, looking for it. It's crazy. You know, it's really tragic. So much. I live in San Diego, and, you know, I've been there for 30 years almost. And they have this magazine that comes out. It's free. You know, you get in the laundromat, and it's called The Reader. And some of the ads in there are about, you know, plastic surgery and this and that. You know, I mean, it's very bodily conscious. So I've been noticing lately, because sometimes I just whip through. I don't read anything. I just see what's going on. And then at the latter part of the magazine, it's, oh, are you feeling depressed? You know, here we have this cycle. You know, you come to this psychologist. The first part is, oh, you can lip and tuck and you can be beautiful again, you know. And then by the time you get to the back part of the magazine, it's all, well, you're really still depressed. Okay. It's crazy. I'm turning 71 tomorrow, actually. And, these shlokas are just as nectarine or more now than they were when I learned them when I was, you know, 27. There's no diminution. If you just take shelter of what Prabhupada has given us, you can actually understand that this is eternally enlivening stuff. It's real. And that is, you know, and then comes out kirtan. And I'm telling you, these wonderful kirtan retreats and mailers, it's all good. You take shelter of that, and that will definitely help the japa also. That's one of the great things that's developed over the last 10, 12, 15 years, is devotees sitting down and chanting and the musicianship that's developed. I never learned to play the drum, and you can see why. It all went into the chanting, you know. Upon his chest is manifest the mark of goddess Shri, and there to rest the best of wreaths, a temple for the bees who worship him by singing hymns that limn his loving play. While Shri Hari most gleefully acclaims the way they pray. For brothers love mad milkmaids, and for all the Brahmins' wives, Shri Krishna is the ultimate good fortune in their lives. His sandal paste anointed limbs bedim the full moon's glow unto the lotus feet of Shri Hari. I bow down low. You know, it's yours. I'm giving it out. I don't sell this stuff at all. You know, you can have it. I give it, just write to me. I'll give you all the things. Okay, any other suggestions, questions? Yes, Prabhu. I'm sorry, I'm going overtime now. Okay, 7:50.
Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
You drew attention to the fact that in Shikshastakam, verse 4, Krishna is addressed as Jagadisha. And then in text 5, Ainanda Tanuja.
By the way, it's Tanuja. It's not Tanuja, if you wanted to think why, but anyway, go ahead.
And I was thinking in third verse is Hari. So,
the third verse?
Yeah, Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Yeah. So, is there some significance in the names of Krishna in verses 3, 4, and 5?
Well, I didn't think about the third verse. Hari is actually a more personal verse than Jagadish. You know, Jagadish is kind of, you know, generic. But the real point is that as you go on through the Shikshastika, he's getting more and more, you know, personal with Krishna. Actually, the fifth verse is something we call a Lala Shamayi. I'm going to deal with that. If you go into the Nectar of Devotion, there's a, pretty interesting, there's a part called Submission. And then the next section is called offering notable prayers. These are 64 different elements of bhakti. And the interesting thing is that word submission has nothing to do with like submitting to Krishna. What it has to do with like submitting a report or an entreaty. Like you submit a report, you know, believe it or not. And that's the section on prayer. And so there's this thing called sampartanatmika, which are like ordinary prayers that we would offer. Then there's some Dainya Bodhika, which is the song, Hari Hari Vipale, where you're self-condemning, I'm so wretched, I'm useless, you know, I have no shelter but you, please let me stay at your lotus feet. That's the mood here. And then there's Lala Shamayi, which we sing every morning, the Tulsi prayer. Although that's supposed to be sung by and offered by those who are on the Bhava platform, Prabhupada gave us this Tulsi prayer, which is the most advanced of all. You know, I want to become your maidservant. It's a prayer from Manjari Baba. You know, oh, Tulsi, let me become your maidservant so that I can swim and float along in the ocean of love of Radha and Krishna. It's not a beginning prayer, you know. But Prabhupada gave it to us, so I'm going to share a few of those with you in the second session I have. This, two songs from the Govinda Lilamrita, the Shukanshari. You know, Kunkamata Kanchanamjagavahari Gorabha. This is all in the database, so I feel free to. And, her gold complexion steals the pride of golden lotus tinged with red. Her fragrance mocks the scent of lotus bloom with saffron powder spread. Her skill is satisfying, she, Hari, is perfect and complete. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. So, Nanda Tanuja is a son of Nanda. And then, of course, you get to the latter couple of verses, and it's all, you know, Radharani in deep separation from Krishna. There's no question about it. But he begins with, you know, at least in that fourth verse, is Nanda Nanda Dinanda Sundari. It's kind of official, you know. But it's a very important verse. What not to pray for? What everyone else is praying for, the materialists? No. We're simply praying for, even birth after birth, not for liberation. Was unmotivated service. Okay, I think I'll let you go. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Well, go ahead. Give her the mic. I'm sorry.
Prabhu, you were speaking about Queen Kunti's prayer where a helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name, whereas a man in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere.
Right.
So it seems, as we practice Krishna consciousness over the years, some of those gross material desires gradually fade away. And then we build up this world of devotional service and we try to satisfy our needs within that world. And I find it easy to call out in desperation when that world of devotional service gets shaken up. But that same desperation is not there when things are going very well with our services. So, couple questions. One, is it because even within this world, we're actually trying to just fulfill our material desires, you know, now more subtle? And secondly, how to realize our, you know, desperate situation, even when things are going right with, you know, with.
Yeah. That's a very good question, and it recognizes the complex psychological nuances that take place in devotional service, because there are pitfalls. One of the ones we're constantly warned about, for instance, is the danger of pride seeping in. You know, you spend years, like, you know, 45 years, you know, well, yeah, they should bow down to me. Why not? You know, I mean, you may not say that out loud, but you're feeling it. And just feeling it is not good. So that pride is possible. And this other one is a sense of complacency, which you're talking about. Things are going smoothly, it's very good, you know. But then you lose the sense of, you know, desperate calling out to the Lord. How do you maintain that? Well, the wise devotees, those who are courageous, they take on difficult things. You know, it's Christmas season now, just to go out and distribute books, that's always a challenge. You know, you're going to meet with difficulties, you know. So that's actually a very healthy platform to be on. And that's, Prabhupada showed us. He came to America, he was doing, you know, perfectly in Vrindavan, could have stayed there like so many of his god brothers and just chanted Hare Krishna and leave the planet. But he felt the urgency coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and from his Guru Maharaj. And we have been given that same, order, is to take the trouble to give Krishna consciousness to others. If Prabhupada hadn't taken that trouble, we wouldn't be sitting here. Kishore wouldn't be here. Nothing would have manifested. So that's the sign of advancement, and it's really good for our chanting too, because then you're in a position where you really have to pray hard to get the courage to do this, to overcome this feeling like that, you know. And you find that, you know, the those who've been preaching and taking risks for years and years, they're the really steady devotees and the leaders. So it's a question of, you know, being able to, step back, you know, from your comfortable position and say, wait a minute, am I getting into a rut here? Is this really where I want to be? I'm sure I'm steady. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. But there's so much more I could be doing. There's a whole world of people who need our help, you know. So that's what the advancement is to see ways in which you can increase and ways in which you can get out of your comfort zone. You know, so we should look for that. Okay, we really have to end. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.